Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and just whatever other random stuff happens to pop into our head. Just keep in mind, this is an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. And I'm your host, Alex, and I'm here this week with my co-host, Austin.
Austin. Jacob calls me that sometimes. No one else does.
It seemed appropriate. I was feeling kind of fancy.
All right, Alexandra.
Ooh, now we're getting into, like, am I in trouble territory? Nobody says that.
I'd use your full name, but we're on the podcast, so I won't.
All right, so we've got some really, really awesome stuff planned for this episode today. This is going to be exciting. So I'm just going to kick it off. I think we're going to forego week talk this week and just jump right into the meat of it because we've got a lot on tap today. So firstly, I want to share a couple of messages that we received on our Spotify platform. I guess there's a feature on here where you can share some of your thoughts. So we recently got a couple. One for episode 128, Karma Kecleon. And this was from user Pokemon Megastar. And this is when we were discussing, the movie during this episode, Austin?
I think we were like preparing for the movie.
Okay. So we got a comment and it's Pokemon Megastar says they're excited for the movie. Pokemon Forever was one of the three movies that they always watched on repeat. The first movie, Pokemon Forever, and then the next movie, Pokemon Heroes, and that we do amazing work. So we really appreciate that comment.
Thank you, Pokemon Megastar.
Thank you. I know, we love to hear it. You guys just write in on any platform that you can, because we love to read these off.
We will see it eventually.
Yes, we do try to diligently check, you know, our platforms every so often.
Eventually.
Just because we haven't gotten to it doesn't mean we won't. So please, we encourage you guys to still write in. The other comment that they left was on episode 129, Involuntarily Celebi. Same user, Pokemon Megastar. That's fair. I haven't watched this movie in years, so I don't know if it'll hold up. But I didn't know the plot was basically Princess Mononoke. Good eye. Time travel is confusing. Yes, I agree with you, Pokemon Megastar. Time travel is confusing.
Sorry we didn't like it. But that's the wonderful thing about enjoying things is we all don't have to have the exact same opinions on the exact same media and we can all still get along.
That's right.
Tell that to the Star Wars fandom or something like that.
Oh gosh. Tell it to any fandom. Honestly, there's divisiveness in any fandom. But regardless of that, we appreciate the thoughts and anybody who wants to share, please, we encourage you to write in. We'll drop our social contact links at the end of, like we always do. But for now, I think we're going to pivot to what this episode is all about today, and this is a very special episode because if you may or may not know, our Patreon subscribers have a special access where if you subscribe to our highest tier, which I think is called What Even Is a Pokemon Master Anyway? I probably butchered that.
Let's look it up. I honestly don't even know. I should know this.
You're the one who came up with it.
Whatever a Pokemon Master even is.
Yes, whatever a Pokemon Master even is. Even I don't know.
Technically, we do know now.
Which is what?
We have to wait for the last episode of Journeys to find out.
Okay, I'll get back to you in 20 years from now.
Okay, great.
So as a perk of one of those tiers, a listener can choose an episode of their choice and join us on our podcast as a guest contributor. So today, I'm very pleased to announce that one of our patrons, Tristan, is going to be joining us today. Hello, Tristan. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, this is so exciting.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, we've been planning this in the works in the background for a while now. Tristan was really a big fan of the Whirl Islands episode, so this was the one that he chose to participate with us on. So we're really, really thrilled to have you here. We're really thrilled to have you as a supporter, and we can't thank you enough for being with us this whole time as a listener.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, it's amazing. I think I started like about a little less than a year ago, probably like last summer, maybe, is when I found you guys. And you guys, at that point, were already like 2 years into it.
I can't believe it's been that long.
You started listening right as we started to have like a really irregular schedule, actually.
I had to binge all the previous episodes. So by the time I got caught up, it was several months.
Wow, this is awesome. It's really been a fun journey, a fun experience for just us here on Out of the Drying Pan. But now to be able to have, you know, listeners and people actually coming in and being engaged with it is really awesome. So yeah, I think we're just going to start out, Tristan, to kind of get your thoughts on your relationship with Pokemon. Like, what got you into Pokemon in general? Like, how far back does your interest go? Is this something that you have liked since your own childhood, or is it something later? Like, we want to hear about that.
So it kind of started back in like the late 90s. So I would say in about 97, 98, we took a road trip, like a 30-day road trip, like across the country to like all the Rushmore, Yellowstone, all that stuff. And my parents, because I'm one of three boys, so to avoid fighting in the car, they were like, oh, we bought Pokemon Blue and Red for me and my younger brother with the guidebook to go along with it. And we basically spent all summer in the car just doing that 8 hours a day.
Was this the guidebook with the stickers?
I don't remember. It had everything in it. Like, it had Missing No and Where to Find Mew. And like, it had
oh, wow.
It had all this stuff in it. So it was probably a little bit past like the initial release. But yeah, we ended up doing that, and that's how I got into it. And then, of course, we get home from the trip, and we're like, oh, there's an actual cartoon to go along with it, or an anime. So I started watching that for a little bit, got into high school, kind of fell off. And then I would say probably like in college, I ended up buying the box sets of seasons of the Johto and the Orange Island sets, seasons. Okay. And then I ended up watching those. And then again, after college, kind of fell off again. And now I have two boys, and my oldest son is really into Pokemon. So we decided, hey, let's start watching the anime, because I figured it's 1,200 plus episodes, so it gives us something to do. We start watching the anime together, and I'm just a fan of rewatch podcasts in general. And so I decided, hey, I wonder if there's any rewatch Pokemon podcast to go along with it, kind of for something to do on the side while I'm at work. And so I type Pokemon into Apple Podcasts, and of course there's like 100 different things, and so I literally clicked on every single thing to find out if it was a rewatch podcast, a TCG pod, like whatever it was, and I found very few that were even still active, and yours was one of them.
Wow, it's really, well, you're definitely not wanting for content in terms of the anime, because it's still going on. So I think you're safe in terms of having some stuff to watch for a while. But it's so nice to hear that like it came full circle.
Yeah, the intergenerational aspect of it.
Love to hear that.
Yeah, my son just loves everything about it. Cards, like just everything. He's got books about it. Like, it's just kind of something where he's like, we'll watch one or two episodes a day, you know, couple, maybe like 3-4 a week kind of a thing. So, but yeah, that's kind of like our thing.
So how far have you gotten watching 3-4 a week?
Well, we're currently toward the end of Johto. We kind of slowed down a little bit once spring starts with T-ball and everything else going on. It kind of slows down, but we're like 10 episodes left in Johto. So we're maybe like 50-ish episodes ahead of where you guys are.
I'm surprised he had the patience to get through Johto, because I know I
tried. Oh, he just loves seeing, he loves keeping track of which Pokemon he's seen compared to which ones he hasn't seen.
Oh, okay.
And unfortunately for him, you know, the whole Porygon thing, I'm like, you know, you're not going to really see Porygon, but you know.
Oh, I can agree with that. It's such a travesty.
I think that's a good parenting decision right there.
He wanted to know about the episode. I told him what happened in the best way I could to a 7-year-old. And I basically was like, yeah, unfortunately, you're not going to see him. But yeah, he has a little book that he keeps track of with every single Pokemon from every region. And he likes to go through and mark off, okay, we've seen this one, we've seen this one, we've seen that.
Oh, that's adorable. Oh, to be a young Pokemon fan again. It sounds like a really great bonding activity for you guys. So that's really nice to hear. So I know, Tristan, that you had said that you had been listening back to us and you had compiled some of your own notes and thoughts. So do you want to take this opportunity to share some of those as we go through, or?
Yeah. So what I did was, in preparation for this, I went back and I kind of sped listened to the last like 130 plus episodes, mostly just the Week Talk sections. Because honestly, sometimes those can kind of go off the rails and are like super funny, obviously. So
they've kind of become the meat of the podcast.
I know, it's
actually
not even about Pokemon
like
anymore.
And so what I did was I kind of compiled like a top 5 list with some what's called OLIs, outside looking in, things that just didn't quite make the top 5 of just funny things for each of you. Unfortunately for Austin, I couldn't narrow his down, so he's got 10.
He's the funniest one, so that makes the most sense.
I think I just talk the most.
It'll be interesting to get a perspective. You know, I'm really interested to hear, like you said, an outside perspective looking in, because for us, it's just the amount of stuff that we end up cutting from the podcast is, I wish we had like deep cuts, Austin. I know we can't go back, but to see what we even talked about. But I'm just interested. So go ahead and share whenever you feel ready.
All right. Well, I'll start with Jacob because Jacob's not here. He has two OLIs. His first one was when he told the story about asking random people at a mall to buy mature games for him when he was a kid.
Yeah, I feel like that's a pretty classic scenario, but I would never do that as a kid because I was too afraid of being kidnapped or whatever.
So the next one is he says he accidentally ate a pear for the first time because he thought it was an apple.
Oh, Jacob.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So now we'll get into the top five. So number five is he convinced a guy that pineapples came from sand dunes and even planted pineapples in the dunes to further convince them.
Oh my gosh, I remember that conversation.
So number four is, so when the podcast started in May of 2001, he had an iPhone 6 from 2014.
Oh gosh.
The home button stopped working in October of 2022, and then he finally got a new phone in 2023 after about 9 years.
Wow.
Thank God for that.
We should have broken his phone earlier, Austin. We should have, like, taken it and threw it outside by accident. Whoops.
Number three, not knowing what a Prince Albert is and pestering Austin for more details about one.
Oh, gosh. And then I got the name wrong. I remember that.
I don't remember what you called it, but he just kept asking follow-ups, and you were like, let's just move on.
Austin's our resident. Like, if there's anything, like, M-rated to know, Austin's going to be the one, probably, to know it.
Number two, this one's actually more one of the more recent ones, finding frame risque photos at an open house.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, what is that? I don't understand that.
The thing about Jacob's stories is, like, even between Austin and I, we still don't know if it's, like, satire or not. We're not sure, 100%, so.
Jacob's a pathological liar, actually. So you're never quite sure with him.
He did say in one episode that he has a 70 to 30 BS to truth scale, so I just don't know which way it actually goes, you know?
Fair enough. I assume everything that is in the podcast is real. Just assume that.
All right, and then number one, he thought RuPaul's Drag Race was about drag car racing.
Oh, gosh.
All right, so that concludes Jacob's. Now I'll go on to Alex's.
Oh, boy. Oh, yay! Boy. Am I ready? I'm not sure.
So the first one for you, Alex, I have is just your overall just love of Waffle House.
Oh, God. It's a defining personality trait for me.
Where I live, they don't exist, so I've never been to one, but it's just it's just nice that, you know, you just would, you, there were like two or three episodes in a row where you just, like, this Waffle House, like, talked about it all the time, and I was just like, it's just refreshing to see the love of Waffle House.
There are no less than two Waffle Houses within walking distance of where I am at this exact moment.
Waffle House is on every street corner here, and it's really an experience. I can't describe it. It's like, in the best, most endearing way I could possibly put this, it's like a dirty diner where a bunch of, like, truckers go, but the food is delicious, and it's never made me sick. It's not, like, dirty in the sense of, like, oh, the food's gross, but, like, it's just got that, like, Americana, like, truck stop breakfast diner vibe, and it's the best thing ever.
And if you go during day hours, you're not going to see a fight.
No.
That's right. They're all over the internet. That was it. Yeah.
Right. Oh,
I mean, that's a real thing. Waffle House is a it's a fight zone, so you gotta know when to go and when
just
not to go.
Just don't go at like 3 a.m, then you'll be good.
Oh, which I have, and yes, things happen.
Just don't go anywhere at 3 a.m. is probably the best rule of thumb, probably.
You know, that's a fair point.
So that, Alex, that's actually the only OLI I have for you. Now we're into the top five. So number five is you ate butter that expired in 2017.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I remember that. That was terrible.
Number four, in the entire length of the podcast, you have finished one whole video game.
Yep. That sounds about right. Honestly, call me out.
And it was in February of 2023. I don't remember the name of the game, but it was in February 2023 because Austin said, "Oh, did you finish it?" And you said yes, and I was like, I had to jot that down.
Okay, I bet you, I'm gonna guess, I'm pretty sure it's probably God of War because I bought the first one, but I was loaned the second one, so I was on a time limit to get it back to the person that owned it. So that's probably my main motivator there. So I'm going to guess it was that.
Number three. This one haunts me, and I think about it probably multiple times a week. The fact that you were stung by a scorpion in the neck in your bed.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I think about that all the time, and I wasn't even there.
I live thousands of miles away from wherever you guys are, and like, it just still creeps me out. And I don't even think we have scorpions where I live, so.
I'm sorry to have shared that with people. If anybody has a fear of scorpions because of that story, I am so, so sorry. To this day, I don't understand. Like, it was one of those bizarro things that I don't think I'll ever, like, completely have an explanation for, but it was one of the worst experiences of my life.
I randomly will just think about the fact that this person on a podcast listening to got stung by a scorpion, and it just creeps me out, and I probably think about it 2-3 times a week.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm so sorry that, it's made such an impression, but...
Number two, anytime Alex is railing against consumerism and capitalism.
Oh my god. I would have expected that more from Austin, but I guess I get off my soapbox a lot.
Yours are more memorable. That's why I wrote that down. And then number one is when you confuse Gene Simmons and Richard Simmons.
Oh my god.
I don't remember that, but that's awesome.
I think I do remember that briefly. That was one of my better flubs of all time. Question mark. I don't know.
And so,
okay, now that we finish Alex's, we can move on to the main episodes. All right, the first episode is called...
Nah, you don't get off that easy.
Yeah, we have to do Austin, which I couldn't narrow it down so much, so he just has 10. So, yeah, he just has a full top 10 list. So, number 10, this one's more for me, his excellent fan fiction for Brock's time with Professor Ivy that I requested.
Yes. Perfect. Thank you. Austin's a writer. That was such a good prompt. I never would have thought of that.
That's the only one that's kind of a softball about me. So, there you go. Number 9 is Austin hating about 90% of all episodes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Austin's the cynic. We gotta reel him in.
But when I do like the episodes, you two like them. You and Jacob,
so
Alex.
So you're the, like...
Or you two don't like them.
You're the yardstick we have to measure against.
Yeah, it's just, there's very few episodes where Austin goes, I like this one. Every single episode is, I hated it. So, you know, there you go. All right, number 8, his job as a secret shopper for alcohol, which was mentioned about 2 to 2.5 years apart from each other on episodes.
Oh, shit, I always fear that we're repeating stories. I guess we are.
2 to 2.5 years is kind of a long time, but it was also two different stories, which was also kind of cool.
Oh, was it really?
It was a sequel.
Yeah. Number 7, this one's actually two stories lumped into one because it's kind of the same genre. The story of you roller skating and knocking people over, but you did give them fair warning.
Get out of the way.
And then your ice skating story where some kid said, I'm a little kid, even I can do it.
Oh my gosh.
We have shared way too much of our lives on this.
Number 6, you set water on fire twice while cooking and had a pizza fall through the...
Oh my god!
What happened?
A bug fell on my shoulder.
Oh Jesus.
I thought it was a scorpion for a split second.
R.I.P. Tristan's ears.
What happened?
A bug fell on Austin. You could add this to your...
Oh my god, I'm so embarrassed.
You can add this to your list, Tristan. Austin, okay. Where is the bug?
It's on the floor, I got
it.
Oh
my god, okay.
Oh my god, it scared the shit out of
me.
Okay,
I'm sorry, full disclosure, the minute Tristan said... You know, the pizza fell through, and then Austin screamed, and I thought something fell through your roof. Your upstairs neighbor.
You ready to go?
So, my upstairs neighbor fell through the roof, and the pizza fell through the oven,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
Okay, sorry for that sideline, Tristan. Go ahead.
That's perfectly okay. Number 5, shirtless Pokemon dads.
Oh, yeah, shirtless Pokemon dads. We had one recently, Chuck.
That's kind of one of those funny things that stands out. Number 4, the story of you driving home one night with prescription sunglasses and non-working headlights.
That's one of my favorite stories of all time because I was a passenger during that trip, and that was... I feared for my life because Austin refused to let me drive.
Why did I refuse to let you drive?
I don't remember. You probably were like, I don't want you driving, Libby, but... Whatever.
Number 3, waking up from anesthesia and the doctor saying, don't worry, that happens to a lot of people, then falling back asleep.
Oh my god, I still wonder a lot.
Nightmare.
Number 2, a sex dream about being George from Seinfeld.
Oh my god, when did you say that, Austin? I don't remember
that at all. Oh my god, really?
There were more details to it, but I'm going to spare them. So,
do you, Tristan, really quick, do you remember what episode that was from by any chance?
No idea. There was also Kramer was kind of Kramer was well endowed. That's kind of all I remember about it, but yeah.
I hate myself. Okay.
And number 1, and I know Alex will love this number 1.
Oh god.
Being at the Twilight movie and being lifted off the ground by stampeding teenage girls and slammed against the wall.
Yay! That's the number 1 for sure. I do remember that. That haunts my dreams. Just like the scorpion haunts yours, Tristan, I do have PTSD moments where I remember getting physically lifted off of the ground by rabid fans and slammed into a wall.
There you go. There's my top list of the last 130 plus episodes. So,
Tristan, we appreciate you listening to all that garbage.
The most memorable.
A short period of time. Oh my god.
That was so great. Thanks so much for just, making us relive that. Oh, that was wonderful. I actually honestly forgot about a few of those top five moments, so I appreciate being reminded, because we've had some laughs on here, haven't we? So I think with all of that being said, we can just jump right into the episodes, because I know you guys are probably super excited to talk about the thrilling conclusion to the World Cup.
Woo!
So this week's episodes, we have Dueling Heroes and The Perfect Match.
Tristan, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Why do you select these two specific episodes to be on the pod for?
Partially because I like competition episodes, battle episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And second, I kind of like, well, we don't want, without spoiling it, I kind of like seeing Ash get put in his place every once in a while. So.
Ha. I think we can agree on that, Tristan. I think sometimes we need to have Ash be humbled a little bit. So that was one of those times, I think. So, Austin, how are we breaking it down this week with our guest?
Alex, you were doing the 30-second summary, your favorite thing to do.
I love it.
I'll handle the first episode, which I get the episode titles confused. The first one is Dueling Heroes.
Right.
And then, Tristan, you got The Perfect Match.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Well, I might need only 15 seconds for Dueling Heroes, because I literally only have, like, 5 bullet points or something, so...
3, 2, 1, go.
So, we're at the opening ceremony for the prestigious World Cup. We have Sea Princess Maya, who has her ancient water Pokemon ritual and her staff, and the battle starts. So Misty versus Ash, and Misty is, I'm losing it here, she wins and goes up against Harrison, and ends up winning against Quillfish, and they realize at the end that they are pitted against each other, Ash and Misty, for the second round of battles come tomorrow.
Time. Alex, you did it. You did a whole summary in 30 seconds.
I know. Usually I lost it kind of in the middle, but I still pulled through at the end. So I'm proud of myself.
I'm proud too. Just in general.
Thank you.
So today we are at the ancient Roman Colosseum in Japan that exists. Right. The one that exists, you know, next to the seashore and is a water stadium. And we are at the World Cup opening ceremonies presided over by Maya the Sea Princess.
Princess or priestess?
Oh, Sea Priestess. Yeah. Yes. Okay, Maya the Sea Priestess, who I suppose is some sort of holy figure in the Pokemon world. She's like water Pokemon Pope, I don't know.
So what are our thoughts on this, you guys? Because, I mean, it seemed like ancient ritual, whatever, aside. Was there actually any like magical stuff going on, or was it just like a fancy light show?
I mean, her thing, it was blue.
It glowed.
And Misty said, she summoned the power of all water Pokemon. I'm like, what does that mean?
Tristan, any thoughts on that?
No, I have no idea. It's almost like she just was picked to be like, hey, we're doing this competition. We just need somebody to like light the torch, you know, so to speak, basically.
Passing of the flame.
Was she like an actress of some sort?
I don't know. You know, actually, for one split second, and this may have been just me being like fanciful for a minute. I thought like when she went on her little diatribe about the water Pokemon and the sea spirit and the friendship, I was like, okay, does that mean that everybody suddenly has the ability to, like, talk to their water Pokemon? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, they mentioned that. Professor Elm said that. Something about, like, talking to water Pokemon. But
that didn't happen.
Who knows?
Nothing so interesting. It's just, it was a fancy opening ceremony speech.
So the real prize appears to be a Mystic Water, which is a held item in the games that you don't have to win a whole competition to get.
Some rando NPC just gives it to you.
I don't remember that at all, but sure. Brock points out that Ash's only water-type Pokemon is Totodile. And Ash was like, oh no, I forgot about that. So I don't know what he's been planning this whole time.
Oh my god.
We go over to call Professor Oak. Professor Oak is like, which one do you want to exchange for Kringler? So you would think, I would think, that they're going to do a repeat of like the Heracross situation and have Ash sub in Bulbasaur for Kringler and then just never send Bulbasaur back.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
In other episodes, like, he went and got a Tauros for, like, one episode and then just traded him right back, too. So it's like, I don't understand why he was making such a big deal, like, oh, I don't know which one to send back. And it's like, you've done it before where you send one back and then just take it back the next day.
Yeah, this isn't hard-hitting stuff.
I think what you're talking about, Tristan, is the time that he sent over Heracross and then they just never sent Heracross back. which is a day that will live in infamy because Heracross got robbed.
Oh, that was for the Tauros. Then he sent the Tauros back for some. Then he literally sent the Tauros back because I think he ended up, we only had 5 Pokemon or 4 Pokemon at one time.
Well, if we know anything about Ash, is that he has to agonize over things that don't even really matter because it's not like there's like a limit or any sort of pressing reason why he wouldn't be able to get the Pokemon he sends immediately back like the next day, like Tristan mentioned. So I guess we're just filling time.
Oak has a suggestion. He wants Bayleaf because he wants to study Bayleaf because he's never had a chance to do so before.
Sure.
Okay. I would have asked for the shiny Noctowl, but that's just me.
Wait, has Oak never had, has he never had time to, like, study Noctowl? Or Ash has always had Noctowl.
Because it's shiny.
No, I know, but, like, he's never left him with Oak. Like, he wouldn't ever have had the opportunity to...
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Sure, Bayleaf's the most interesting.
He picked Bayleaf because we have to have the funny scene where Bayleaf is let out in Oak's lab, looks around, sees Oak, starts to cry, starts having a tantrum, gets the zoomies, and runs directly into Oak's crotch with its headbutt.
On its hind legs, too.
On its hind legs. Oh, yeah. Delia doesn't need to use her IUD anymore because Oak just became sterile.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I assume this is... Oh, do you want me to get nerdy?
Go for it.
Yes, you do. I assume this is a reference to those Professor Oak talking about Pokemon segments that get cut out of the dub.
When he...
You know, the ones at the end of every episode.
Is that like his haiku segments?
Yeah, his haiku segment.
Sure.
Have we ever talked about those before?
Maybe once, but I'm not sure.
I assume it's a reference to that, where he gets harmed physically somehow every time. Now, I guess it's the next day or something, because it's now all the water-type battles begin. And I just wrote, it must be really boring just to sit and watch all these water-type Pokemon blast water at each other for hours.
I mean, maybe, like, the preliminaries and, like, these early matches are kind of boring, but I think as we go through... we'll start to see, like, the true big players in this, like, the actual people that are skilled are the ones that advance. So it wouldn't be until the later days that you would start really seeing some intense action.
Yeah, it just seemed like a lot of bubbles and water guns back and forth.
I mean, I have some thoughts, like, maybe I'll save them for the next episode because that's where we kind of, like, get into that. But, like, honestly, I have no idea how Ash and Misty ever thought they had a snowball's chance in hell of winning this competition, but...
They're winging it. They did not plan for this at all.
No, they didn't.
Our first match that matters is Ash versus Christopher, who is a little fisher boy.
Cute.
And it's going to be a 1v1 match of Totodile versus Kingdra. And Alex, did you like the little detail of how Kingdra was in a lure ball?
Yes, I did.
On a fishing pole?
I did love that. I love that he had the fishing pole with the lure ball complete, because that's the one that is more effective when you fish. So I was like, that's a cute little detail. And then the fact that he has a Kingdra, I wanted to kind of get Tristan's and your thoughts on this one, Austin, because we haven't seen a Kingdra, have we? Or have we?
Molly Hale had an imaginary one, but other than
that's
that.
A movie, so I'm not going to count it for the overall, like, show.
I'm a fan because it's part dragon, part water. A lot of times when they, like, make, like, a third generation, it's less. Sometimes you're like, was it really needed? Was it not needed? I mean, Horsea the Seadra was good. I do think adding the dragon type, it also kind of looks really badass, too, with, like, the spiked horns and everything that are going around behind its head.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think it makes perfect sense. It feels like a 3-stage line, naturally.
It's complete. I like the fact that, I mean, maybe it's just, I always think this. I'm like, our main cast, like the Torps, like Ash, Misty, and Brock, like, for being the main characters, they always seem like they have not, and I might ruffle some feathers with this, I'm sorry, not so interesting Pokemon. I'm like, look at this kid, this rando kid with a freaking Kingdra. Like, how come we can't ever have anything half as cool as that? Like, I think, like, Charizard and Heracross, but we don't have those anymore, so.
I kind of feel like Kingdra is a victim of the animated depictions of them having Pokemon in a real world space, because, like, Kingdra is a waterbound Pokemon.
Oh, that's always a limitation, isn't it? It's kind of like Goldeen, right? Like.
Right. And then Misty's Horsea.
Yeah, you can't have certain ones in certain situations because it's just not physically possible for them, unless Kingdra flies around. I don't know.
Which would be kind of cool.
It is a dragon. I don't know.
You know, that's kind of a missed opportunity. Misty has a Horsea. She could have gotten a Gen 2 Pokemon in the form of a Kingdra.
That would require them to write in something that cool, so.
And have to evolve it twice. I mean, that's, you know, unless it's Ash's Charmander, they don't evolve that quickly.
No, they do not. She still has that Poliwhirl.
Yeah.
Does that change soonish, or do we have to wait a while? I can't remember.
Not as soonish as you might think.
Okay. I was thinking that during these episodes with Poliwhirl. I'm like,
Well, Kingdra, I would say, looks cool, but it's pretty ineffective because Totodile just dodges all of its attacks, or he, like, avoids them. There's a kind of cool moment where he dances through a Hydro Pump.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I mean, is that more of, like, Kingdra not being cool, or the writers just writing in some contrived way for Ash to win so that they, Misty and Ash, can have their obvious face-off?
The latter, probably.
Anyway.
There's a kind of funny moment where Kingdra submerges itself in the water and doesn't come out, and everyone's like, oh no, this is so scary. And Christopher says something along the lines of, I know the longer I wait, the more nervous Totodile's gonna be. And it cuts to Totodile yawning and, like, waking itself up by dancing because it's so bored.
And the announcer mentions that too.
That was cute.
Thank you, Pokemon Stadium announcer, who's also Tracy and Giovanni. We appreciate it.
Giovanni.
In the end, Ash wins. Because there's a rather infamous moment where Totodile clamps Kingdra's mouth shut.
The body horror moments.
And Kingdra blows up like a balloon, and many a fetish was born.
No, don't you say that. You shut your mouth. That was... Oh my god.
Scary.
The animation wasn't great on that. I don't know if you noticed it. It was very bad.
They didn't go through the animation of it blowing up. It was like a cut, 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 cut.
It was very fuzzy. At least the platform I was watching, like, the whole, like, scene, like, the way the animation was very fuzzy.
So, Kingdra dies, and Ash wins.
Hooray.
Meanwhile, Team Rocket this whole time has a little subplot. They want to steal Maya, the sea priestess's sea spirit that glows blue. And Jessie wants it for herself, but the boys want to sell it for money.
My question with that is, if they stole it, who are they going to sell it to?
Right?
That's a great question.
It's a recognizable artifact, right? So
you can't just walk into a pawn shop with something and be like, hey, I got this, you know, super expensive Picasso. I'm going to sell it to you. You know what I mean? Like, somebody's going to know that, you know, that it was stolen and that somebody's trying to sell it.
Maybe Team Rocket has their own, like, network of fences. Maybe they have some sort of, like, black market collectors that they could sell it to.
Mm.
If they were that smart. I mean, this is all assuming that they could actually, like, pull this off.
I wonder if they have Lawrence III in slumber.
Maybe.
So, the next day, because the World Cup takes a long time, because Missy doesn't even get a battle on the first day, she has to fight on the second day, and she's going to fight Harrison, who is Jimmy Buffett, apparently.
That's right.
Can we go back to the moment where Misty's staring out the window? It's actually one of my favorite moments of the episode because it was kind of just showing that, like, she's just taking it all in. She's just happy to be there. Where Ash is like, win, 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 win all the time, where she was just kind of like, even Ash asked her, are you nervous? She's like, no, I'm just happy to be here. And I thought that scene in the Poke Center in the middle of the night, like, that, to me, that scene is one of my favorite scenes of the whole episode.
That's such a good thing to mention. I'm glad that you brought that back up because it kind of speaks to their mentalities, right? Obviously, Ash is very single-minded, focused on winning at the expense of everything else. He doesn't really care. Like, he knows that Misty, this is her dream, really. You know, this is more towards her. And he would still resolve to beat her at any means necessary. Which, I get it's a competition, and you don't want to, like, dumb down your own skills for your friend. Like, I understand that. But I appreciated that, too, Tristan. Like, she's just there for the aesthetic of it, the learning experience of it all. This is an opportunity for her to learn more about her craft and be among people that kind of share her similar mentality on water Pokemon. So it was a nice moment.
I feel like it's kind of a famous moment too, like the Kingdra inflation moment, but for different reasons. Because I feel like I've seen that shot of her looking out the window and Ash looking at her from inside the room. I feel like that gets used in a lot of GIFs and stuff like that. I don't know.
Is there, like, a, when you mentioned the Kingdra inflation moment, is there, like, specific instances of the fandom or people, like, referencing that a lot? Like,
I see it, like, as a meme of, like, a look at this body horror kind of thing. Oh, okay. That's all.
Gotcha. Yeah, it was pretty shocking.
All right, so we go to Margaritaville. And Misty sips on a margarita, and now she's battling Jimmy Buffett, who has a Quillfish. Because this is the, let's get all the water-type Pokemon so they don't have their own filler episodes and have them in this episode instead episode.
Right.
Quillfish looks ridiculous.
It can't help that it's the way it is.
Its eyes, like, look in different directions at all times.
Okay, what does the art look like for Quillfish? Because do we see, like, both its eyes at the same time? Like, why is it so wall-eyed?
Let's see. What does Quillfish look like?
Now I'm
sitting. No, I think Quillfish usually has regular eyes.
Well, I don't know. The official art, it's kind of looking a little bit hokey, but
not as silly as it looked in this episode.
Yeah, it looked a lot skinnier in this episode than what I think what it's supposed to be.
Maybe it was just deflated. It needed to suck up some water.
Okay, Hisui and Quillfish looks a lot better in the eyes.
I like Overquill a lot.
Overquill.
But what do we think about Quillfish? Quillfish is a pretty boring one.
Okay, how about this question for the group? Chinchou or Quillfish?
Chinchou has the electric type thing. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, the antennas kind of give it a one up for me. It's basically like, do you like spikes or do you like antennas? Kind of really what it comes down to. And I'll take the antenna. They just look cooler.
Gotcha. I know I asked that because I know when we were discussing the Chinchou episode the other week, like we were kind of commenting on Chinchou's sort of forgettability. So I was like, okay, of like the forgettable water Pokemon of this generation, like how do we feel about it versus Quillfish? And I think I have to agree with you guys. I think Chinchou has a little bit more of an edge.
Well, Quillfish is edgy.
Ha ha ha.
Plus, I can hug my Chinchou. I can't hug my Quillfish.
That's true.
It doesn't seem to bother Harrison at all.
Quillfish, they battle for a while. I noted, I think this is the first time we ever see Pikachu wearing his little, like, cheerleader outfit with the jacket and the fans. Is that true?
To my knowledge, unless Tristan has a memory of that appearing elsewhere.
I feel like I've seen it once elsewhere, but like probably a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
You know what? Speaking of things like Pikachu things that we don't see, we haven't seen any reference to Pikachu's love of ketchup in a long, long time. And has Pikachu started his like impression thing yet? Or is that like later?
Yes, he has. He was doing it just recently.
When did he do it most recently?
Gosh, I can't remember. Didn't he do it when that Natu episode or something like that?
Oh, maybe. I should have noted that better, but do we ever hear anything about the ketchup love again, or?
Since the Scyther Electabuzz episode, I can't remember another instance.
Huh.
It comes back, but I don't think it ever becomes a big deal again.
Sad. RIP to that running gag.
They just needed a red. That's all they needed.
For that weird Electabuzz Scyther see red and they get angry bit of lore.
Sure.
That was a weird one. Speaking of weird, Quillfish attacks Corsola, like physically, like it jumps on it and gets stuck in its horns. And Corsola freaks out and flies around the stadium. Not literally, but it swims around the stadium with Quillfish on top and then goes back to Misty to be like, help me get this thing out of my paw, like a dog does.
I have a question for Tristan. Since you mentioned that you are partial to like the battle episodes and the whole sequence of that, how do we feel about these moments in battle where it's obvious that Misty's standing there motionless for a long, long time and lets Harrison kind of like prep this pin missile attack that takes like 20 minutes to set up apparently and does nothing in the interim. Like how do we feel about that kind of stuff?
It happens times too where there's an episode probably sometime in Johto where Ash literally just starts yelling at Pokemon and he was like, Pokemon, do something. And I'm like, Ash, you're the trainer. You tell them what to do. I can't remember what the episode was, but it was just funny. That's what he yelled. He was like, do something! And I'm like, you tell them what to do, like
Pikachu, do something.
Yeah, specific orders.
It is weird. I mean, I don't know if they're trying to like fill time. It also is weird that there's a lot of times too where like, you know, they're fighting Team Rocket at various times and it's like one of the three of them actually like throws Pokemon to battle them and the other one they're just like, oh my god, what are they doing? They're stealing this and this, and it's like all three of you have Pokemon. Why is only Ash battling them?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. One of the most annoying things, I guess, for lack of a better term, is like when they're just standing there, forgetting all their faculties, like not contributing anything at all.
Usually happen to Brock the most. I mean, Brock actually has some, like, you know, between Onyx and everything, like he actually has things that can actually do something.
Oh, we know.
Yeah, I know. Your Onyx build a staircase. Yeah, right. The other problem too with Onyx is that how really durable is he? One, he's any water that drips on him, he's basically incapacitated. And two, he's also somehow 28 feet and only 463 pounds, which also makes no sense. We made out of
rock. Oh, gosh.
He could just fly away if he wanted to.
I know that they write these battles with specific outcomes in mind. So it's like, okay, you know, Misty has to win this because it has to be her and Ash. So it's like, I completely get it. But when they make it so painfully ridiculous, it's like, okay, she's not doing anything while she's just standing there and Harrison, like she's just letting Quillfish suck in all this water and sit there for 20 minutes, like firing up his attack. I'm like, why don't you do something? Just do something, anything in the meantime.
Well, in this case, one interesting aspect could be that Corsola could have also had damage too, based on the whole like, you know, beer coat and everything too. So I kind of think too, in terms of trying to actually think of it logically, like maybe Corsola is trying to take a break. Maybe. I don't know.
There was a weird moment where it used Recover, and then the announcer said Corsolas can't move after they recover. I'm like, okay, I guess like it's one turn.
That's not a mechanic.
And that's how Quiffish got stuck to it in the first place.
I don't know if I am misremembering this, but it's not like an attack that requires a cooldown phase. It's literally just a healing attack or a healing move.
Like a hyper beam.
Yeah, there's no such restriction, but I guess for the purposes of this, there was.
It's not a hyper beam or solar beam where you have to like wait a turn, which, you know, in Pokemon anime, turns don't even matter anyway, so.
It's whoever feels like going next, and it doesn't matter. You can get four in a row.
and number of attacks don't matter. Just look at that Dragonite from the Orange Islands.
Oh, yeah.
I guess for the purposes of this, though, it's kind of a throwaway thing anyway, so.
All right, Corsola uses, what is its move? Some sort of attack.
Spike Cannon.
Spike Cannon on Quillfish, who's stuck in its horns. Quillfish gets blasted off again, comes crashing back down, also dies, because nothing can survive from a fall from that height. Misty is victorious.
Congratulations.
So the next battle is going to be Ash versus Misty. Oh, no.
Oh,
to be continued.
No. All right. So do we want to do our MVPs, LVPs, and the quote that had the most impact on us?
I do.
All right. What's our order, Austin?
Tristan, you're first, then me, then Alex.
All right. MVP, I'm going to go Brock. Brock actually was like, Brock was actually surprisingly like knowledgeable, and like the things he was saying in the stands about like the moves that they were using, I was actually quite impressed by him actually. So I'm gonna go with Brock there. LVP, I'm gonna go to Team Rocket, literally because they spent the entire episode planning to do something and then never did anything.
Par for the course.
Good. I'm glad they weren't too annoying this one.
And my quote, I am going to go with Brock at the end, where he says, "The way Misty turned it around at the end kind of reminds me of your battle styles." And then Ash says, I don't know about that. His commentary during the battles in these two episodes was actually quite good, I thought.
He's got some interesting points, although there was one comment he makes the next episode that I think we're going to have some thoughts about. But
oh, I know the one.
Yeah. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
All right. All right.
Austin.
I'm not quite sure. My MVP will be Totodile for kicking that Kingdra's ass and for being cute while doing so. My LVP will be Professor Oak for getting attacked in the crotch.
Was that really his fault? Well, actually it was, because he asked for Bait Leap in the first place, so.
That's true. That was a good point. My quote is going to be Brock, actually. And he says, "Misty, I've never seen you this excited before. Don't worry about ignoring me. I'll just hang out with Pikachu and Togepi."
Oh, that was the one I was going to pick.
Sorry.
There is a cute moment in the beginning of the episode where he has Togepi and Pikachu under each arm.
Aww.
I know, that was adorable. Yeah.
He's the glorified babysitter, I guess. Poor Brock.
I mean, he's a Pokemon breeder. That he should be.
That's true. I know I forget that, because I always think of him as like, okay, he started out as a gym leader, which, you know, I guess that's not his true passion, but I honestly wish that they would give Brock a focus. Like, if they're going to do a specialized competition like the World Cup, like, that's a water Pokemon focus thing for Misty. Like, why can't they do, like, a Pokemon, like, well, I guess they kind of did the grooming thing, but that was more of, like,
the Susie Ninetales episode.
But that wasn't really, like, a Brock focus, was it? It was just sort of like, here, Brock, take care of my Vulpix that's not really your Vulpix. Like, I don't really count it.
He was like her assistant for an episode or something.
He did all the work for her.
But she already had a boyfriend or something like that.
I don't know. He needs something for like his own merits. Like, I don't know. Something else.
Does Brock have Vulpix? I'm trying to think compare where I am compared to where you guys. Does Brock have Vulpix still?
No,
he gave it back. It's gone.
Okay. So, I mean, there was that one episode where there was the competition and he was on stage with the tuxedo and everything. So he kind of had that episode to shine.
But we don't see, I think if I recall correctly, we don't see what the outcome of that was.
Oh, you're right. Like, it cuts off before the end of it. I forgot about that.
So we don't really even see a finality to that. Like, at least with this one, we know the outcome. But with that one, we don't know.
That's true. They just cut away. Yeah.
They don't care about Brock at all. I know. Even though Brock got, like, 17 episodes last season.
All right. Good choices, you guys. Is it my turn?
Yes.
I'm going to give it to Christopher, I guess.
Oh.
Why not? Okay. He's got that cute fishing pole with the lure ball. He actually has a Kingdra, so somehow he got a dragon scale. I wonder what the story is with that. So interesting. Sadly, we don't see him again. My LVP is going to be, this is hard, Ash, I guess.
You don't like Ash?
No, I do like Ash. I just think I agree with what Tristan kind of said earlier, and it's like, you know, I think he's just very focused on always wanting to win all the time. And he's like, he can't just let Misty have her moment. So I think he should have sat this one out.
Can I piggyback on that?
Sure.
He didn't think about the fact that he only had Totodile. He didn't think about Kingler at all.
Yeah. Oh, and that. Oh, that's a good point. Can I piggyback off of your piggyback? Because
oh, great.
he's so gung-ho about competing in this water Pokemon competition, and it's like, Ash, you know that's not your specialty. You know that's you only have a couple of options to choose from, and he forgets about poor Kingler. That means nothing apparently. So how was he ever going to compete knowing? Because does Nurse Joy, I can't remember, the episode where they register for this, does she mention that they will need two water Pokemon for the finals?
She actually would need three. They mentioned later on, or I forget which episode it is, but I'll get to it. It's something I'll get to in the next episode, but I'll piggyback off of your two piggybacks on the next episode about that, because there is an interesting thing where, like, the final battles, you actually need more than two.
Okay, so how was he ever going to complete? How is he not disqualified? How was he even able to qualify if he never had three and he wasn't thinking about Kingler at all? Like, what the heck?
I'll tell you exactly what would happen. Someone would say, probably Brock would say, well, Ash, you know for this round you need three Pokemon. And Ash would be like, oh no, what am I going to do? And then you'd look on the horizon and there's Lapras swimming in.
Oh, okay.
Or Squirtle.
Our Squirtle. Squirtle and Officer Jenny pull up on her motorbike. Because she, you know, crossed the seas with Squirtle. And she was like, I thought this might be a situation. I brought Squirtle for you, Ash.
You guys are so right. Yeah, some sort of crazy situation would happen where one of his old water types would fall into his lap. So yeah, my LVP still stands, Ash, for not thinking these things through. My quote. Okay, I only had one other one written down. So it's when James and Jesse and Meowth are kind of spying on Maya, and they're trying to come up with a plan to steal the scepter that she has, the sea spirit staff or whatever. And James says, someone's about to lose their marble. And Meowth says, you can sure relate to that.
That was cute.
Yep.
Well, that's dueling heroes.
All right, who's ready for the next one?
I'm ready, sort of.
All right, we're sort of going in 3, 2, 1, go.
So right off the bat, we're on Ash and Misty's battle. Meanwhile, Team Rocket is still planning to steal the staff. Misty starts with Poliwhirl against Totodile. Poliwhirl wins, but Ash calls out Kingler, who beats Poliwhirl handily. Psyduck ends up popping out instead of Corsola and wins against Ash, so Misty is victorious. Next day, she's up against a lady named Trinity and loses very predictably to somebody with way more experience than her. And ultimately,
time.
We'll get to the end.
So, we start with a good old narrator rewind, you know, look back, because, you know, you kind of have to have those sometimes with these episodes that go over multiple episodes. Maya is surrounded by all of her, you know, henchmen, bodyguard people, and Officer Jenny comes over and says that they had a mysterious caller that was making threats to steal the scepter, to which she then says, we've had threats in the past. Who?
Yeah, that's it.
I didn't even think of that.
That's a good question.
I was just saying it as read. I was like, yeah, everyone wants to steal a sea spirit.
That's a good... Okay, first of all, I just want to say, Tristan, really quick, did we all love the male officers? Like, it was all male officers surrounding her in this little cutaway?
Only one Jenny allowed.
Yeah, it was a sausage fest. And yeah, that's a good point. Who on earth... First of all, who on earth called in threats before? And secondly, why did Jesse seem to think this was a good idea to tip them off?
I think I know who it was.
Who?
The black arachnid in his meow.
Oh.
Before ancestral Officer Jenny stopped him with a spinnerack.
Okay. So
hundreds of years ago.
Yes.
Well, they did mention that, right? I mean, they did mention that this ceremony has been going on since ancient times, so...
Yeah, that scepter looks to be in pretty good shape for being 2,000 years old, though.
Maybe it's a replica.
Could be.
I like to think it's like a flashlight, and she flips a switch, and it turns on, and it goes blue.
Oh, my gosh.
So, Team Rocket is spying on them. They're trying to decide, like, what to do. Jesse keeps basically stalling this whole time for some strange reason. So then we get to the match, and we first one up is Poliwhirl versus Totodile. We have a close-range bubble attack against each other, followed by a skull bash, and then Poliwhirl just does a double slap to win. I mean, that was basically what it was.
This is a poor showing for Totodile.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, just for a little praise on Poliwhirl, that was the most intense bubble attack I think we've ever seen.
I'm a fan of Poliwhirl in general. Totodile, the way that they drew and animate Totodile, it kind of annoys me. He's just a little too hyper. Like,
the dancing.
I get what they're trying to do, but, you know, trying to give them personality with, like, you know, Bayleaf is clingy to Ash. But at some point, it's like during battle, it's just kind of like, you know, sometimes you just kind of need to buckle down, you know, and just kind of focus on what you have to do.
I wish it had evolved into Croconaw. I think Totodile's personality on a Croconaw would work really well.
See, I was just about to speak to that, Austin, and I wanted to see what we thought about. Do you think, because, like, as we know, with Charmander into Charmeleon, there's a personality shift. Do you think that that personality for Totodile would have carried over, or do you think it might have manifested somehow in a different way with Croconaw?
I don't think Totodile's smart enough to have anything but that personality.
He's just got some fluff and a piece of string up there.
Yeah, pretty much.
But he was more powerful than it maybe it kind of would make more sense. But, like, for him being silly and then also kind of getting beat a lot, it kind of doesn't go well together for him.
I kind of wonder what that would look like on a Feraligatr, like a dancing Feraligatr. That would have been interesting.
That'd be terrifying.
Every time I hear the word Feraligatr, and my son likes to do this, it's from the West.
Feraligatr.
Oh my gosh, really?
Every time the word Feraligatr is said, my son just starts saying that.
That is precious. I love that. Was that the dojo thing?
One of multiple dojos.
Yeah.
Well, Ash one was Snorlax. Again, see, Ash has to, you know, jump into everything, so.
Yeah, there you gotta be front and center.
Yep. Team Rocket is looking on, and they're trying to figure out how they're going to steal the scepter. There's a good line here. I don't know if anybody's quote. I don't want it, so I'll skip it for now. It seems like Jesse has a plan, isn't really telling what the guys are. Meowth and James don't really know what's going on. Kingler comes out next. There's the Team Rocket scene where they're still hiding, not knowing what to do.
Y'all, that crab hammer, though.
Yeah, the crab hammer with the wave, yes.
Oh my gosh.
We cannot forget that this is the god of all Pokemon, Kingler. I know. This thing is unstoppable.
It's such a travesty that Ash forgets about it like he does. Like, again, maybe it's one of those writing it out because it's just too good. But I'm so sad that we don't get to see more of it, because that crab hammer attack was like, it was like an energy beam that turned the entire battlefield into like a raging bunch of whirlpools. Like, it was insane.
So then Poliwhirl ends up getting knocked out, and this was hilarious. Did you hear the noise that Poliwhirl made when he got knocked out?
Yes! Oh my gosh.
Oh, I missed it. What was it?
He goes, "Rawr, Poli, rawr." Oh.
That was adorable. And every time, you know, when we get these funny sounds from, like, the Pokemon, like, I always imagine the voice actors in the booth making these ridiculous noises. I don't know how they get through it with a straight face.
I'm sure it takes... They're professionals. They know what they're doing.
They are professional.
He literally sounded like he was hurt. He was like, "Rawr, Poli, rawr." And then he collapsed.
Okay, I have an update, you guys.
What's that?
Poliwhirl is voiced by Eric Stewart.
No way.
Oh, really?
So that was him doing that.
Amazing. Again, one of the many talents of Eric Stewart's.
So basically, Misty's going to most likely go to Corsola next, but Psyduck decides to come out instead. Good old Psyduck, and he starts to drown, or starts drowning, and the announcer makes a comment of that, which is kind of funny. So then Ash sends Kingler to go attack Psyduck, and I made a note that says that Kingler is swimming like he's Michael Phelps.
He is swimming like
Kingler was so cool. All the money they didn't spend on the previous episode, they spent on Kingler's swimming animation.
He's literally paddling with his little claws.
Yeah, he's doing the crawl, like a full-on crawl, going like 100 miles an hour. Like,
that was just to highlight the intensity of it. Like, he was on his way to Psyduck, which, I mean, I have a couple thoughts real quick before we move on. How many of us thought that this was going to happen? Like, I don't know if it was something in my subconscious that remembered this, or if it was just that predictable, but I was like, how much do you want to bet that Psyduck's going to pop out, like a unexpected... Did we think that was going to happen, or was that...
I figured it was going to happen because we had just seen Corsola.
Yeah.
And Corsola was never going to beat the unstoppable Kingler.
No. It took the stupidity of Ash to beat the unstoppable Kingler.
Which I have some thoughts on, but continue, Tristan. I'll interject in a second.
He tells him to use Vice Grip on Psyduck's head for some stupid reason, because Ash is known by now that that's not what you do to Psyduck.
Right. Right. That was my thought exactly. I'm like, y'all travel together... And you should absolutely know, or maybe this was his way of letting Misty have it. Like, he knew it was going to happen, and he's like, okay, now that the Psyduck thing has all gone wrong, I'm going to let you do this.
They even had a battle once before where she threw out Psyduck and she was like, hit him on the head. And they were like, I forget if it was they're battling for Totodile or if something else, but she's specifically trying to get Ash to have the Pokemon hit Psyduck in the head. And Ash was like, don't touch their head.
does that make me think then, like, it was purposeful?
Ash was taking a fall.
Yeah, was he taking the L on purpose? He kind of does have a cutaway moment where when Psyduck comes out, they make it a point of zooming into him and he says, "Sorry, Misty." Like, he knows that it's to her detriment, but also to her advantage. Like, if he was to have Kingler chomp on his head like that. Like, I don't know. Maybe.
Either way, it's a poor showing for Ash.
Yeah.
Either he's being unsportsmanlike or he's having a really not bright moment.
Sure.
So Psyduck uses confusion, blasts Kingler off, Misty wins, and then we go to a disheveled Oak with Bayleaf. As Ash gets Bayleaf back from Professor Oak, and Oak's hair was like completely disheveled, and he was basically had enough with Bayleaf at that point. So
yeah, I've been there with dogs babysitting.
And then I did put my question in, is that if Ash had one, he didn't have another water Pokemon, so he either have to get Squirtle, Lapras, or borrow one of Misty's.
Maybe another example of him throwing the match on purpose because he knew that he wasn't going to go farther without three, so he's like, you know what, I'm just going to call it right now. Like, I'm out.
Yeah. Then there's a continuity issue because they say the round of 16, but the winner goes to semifinals. If you're in the round of 16 and you win, you go to the quarterfinals.
Mm-hmm.
Or are they in the quarterfinals and they're going to the semifinals? So either way, they never really resolved that. So Misty and Ash's places could be one of two different things.
That's interesting.
So we meet Trinity, who comes up to congratulate Misty on the great battle.
She was boring.
Oh, really? You thought?
I thought she could have been so cool. She could have been like a mentor type figure to Misty. I just thought she was boring.
I kind of thought that's how they were setting it up because, you know, as the narrative rules always dictate, it's like, okay, if you have a named character that comes up that has a somewhat unique design relative to like other NPCs, like, okay, this person's going to be important somehow, but like we don't get a continuity of like, hey, Misty, you're really good. Let me give you some pointers. Like, hey, do you want to like train with me or like whatever? Because I know, Austin, you mentioned a couple weeks ago at least that this is kind of the sun is setting on Misty's time here. So maybe this could have been a setup for that, but
yeah, kind of what I'm trying to agree with Austin. They could have had her fleshed out a little bit more with a little bit more personality and character, I guess. But so they're facing off against each other in the next day, and we have Poliwhirl versus Gyarados, which Gyarados does a one hit KO Hyper Beam, and Poliwhirl is done.
Oh,
poor Poliwhirl.
Poor Poliwhirl.
The whole match lasted about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Misty sends out Corsola, and then this is also where I'm continuing from last conversation where Brock in the stands where they're having a conversation about sending out Corsola, and Brock's actually not being knowledgeable about how Hyper Beam won't work against Mirko and everything, and so that kind of goes back to my last point where Brock's actually in the stands giving actual good commentary for once, so.
But counterpoint.
Yeah, do we want to mention this?
Yes, yeah.
I think, Austin, do you want to extrapolate?
Sure, I can. I don't remember the exact chronology of the dialogue, but at one point Brock says Mirko reflects water type attacks only, right?
Yeah, he says something to the effect of Mirko is useless against Hyper Beam as it's a normal type attack, and Mirko only works on water moves.
That had to be a 4Kids flub. I'm sure he said the right thing in Japanese.
I did look this up on our favorite resource, Bulbapedia. So the explanation that it gives was, okay, it's likely an error, that's true, but I don't believe that it's ever mentioned in the anime the division of, like, physical moves versus special moves, and, like, as we know, things have changed since then, but, like, all water-type attacks in Gen 2 were special, so Mirror Coat would work on all water-type moves, but Hyper Beam apparently is a physical attack.
At the time,
so what I think Brock was trying to convey, Tristan, to your point, like, it was correct and not and incorrect at the same time. Like, he was trying to convey that, like, it's a physical move, so it's not, Mirko isn't going to work. The way he phrased it as it being normal versus water was incorrect. So, kind of both.
Just to skip ahead a little bit, we see Mirko reflect an electric-type move in a second.
That's true.
So, like, what Brock said was incorrect in this episode.
So, yeah. To that point, just to really quickly touch on that before I forget about it. So, apparently, I did look this up, it does mention Spark apparently is a special-type move in this gen. So, that's why Spark is deflected, but...
So, it is correct, then, I guess. Okay. So, then, Misty sends out Corsola. We have a Hyper Beam versus a Spike Cannon. Corsola basically spike cannons Gyarados and then knocks Gyarados into a column to knock him out, which I also thought is interesting. Like, did Corsola really actually win, or was it more that Gyarados just got knocked off balance and then knocked its head on the column that was protruding out of the water?
I'm going to go with that second explanation because I don't think that there's no way Corsola could have won against a Gyarados like that.
It kind of reminds of like of Ash versus Brock when the sprinklers go off and they're like, yeah. Well, I guess you won. So then she sends out Chinchou, which is a water electric type. And Chinchou tries to use confusion and Misty sends Corsola underneath the water, which then I thought this was actually kind of badass. The fact that Chinchou just sticks its tentacles in the water to put confusion under the water. So Corsola really has nowhere to go.
That was so cool.
I thought that was actually really cool. So Corsola ends up on the top of some large pillar, all confused. And I forget what the actual attack was that knocked her down, but eventually Corsola's out of commission and Trinity wins.
Of course.
There's also, oh, I forgot the Team Rocket comes in and gets blasted off because they try to steal the,
I love how, Tristan, you also just forget about Team Rocket. Like,
yeah.
It's so routine.
They spent 2 episodes planning this big heist only for it to last 10 seconds because they, and again, my other observation was, nobody else noticed the balloon except for the twerps. Because if you look at it, they're going to steal the scepter, and all of her bodyguards and Maya are just staring straight ahead. No one's looking up.
No one in the stands either.
No.
Only the twerps.
Yeah. Pikachu comes in, and then this was a new one. As opposed to Razor Leaf or something, he thunderbolted the wire cut. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Oh, yeah, the fishing pole that they had.
The fishing pole? Because I thought that he was just going to blast them off, and it was like, no, I'm just going to cut the line with a thunderbolt, which I don't know if I've ever seen that before, but it was kind of interesting. Then they go blasting off again. So their entire plan to steal this thing over 2 episodes was 10 seconds long. Hence the LVP in the first episode, because they're pretty much worthless, these 2 episodes.
So. I think, if I get the right vibe from it, I think that they were just chicken. Like, when they started seeing all the cops show up, it's like, oh, okay, maybe we made a misstep here, and now we just don't have the guts to go through with this plan, because all these cops are standing around here.
Although it did seem like Jessie, at times, was, like, very, like, into this plan, because they'd be talking to her, and she was, like, staring off going, like, kind of, like, muttering to herself, like, whatever this plan was. So, I don't know.
I think she was just in over her own head. But she can't admit defeat.
No.
So,
Oh, did we know? Are we moving on from Team Rocket?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Do you have a thought?
There was a weird moment where Team Rocket's blasted off, and then as they're already gone, Ash says, Thunderbolt. And so Pikachu sends a Thunderbolt miles into the distance, and then Team Rocket blasts off, we see the star, and then they explode.
Oh, yeah.
While taking out a few Pidgeys and airplanes along the way, probably, so.
Yeah, Ken the Pidgey, RIP.
Those poor Pudgy Pidgey Isle Pidgeys who were just learning to fly for the first time.
Maybe it was a Deliverer Pidgey.
Yep.
So Trinity, and then they basically cut and don't finish the battle, so we don't actually know what happens until we get to the last scene where Trinity finishes second. And this is also interesting because I went back and looked. The person who wins first place looked very similar to the person who she was battling in the semifinals, which again would make no sense.
Yeah, they were so confused over what was going on. Because she was supposed to be in the quarterfinals. They said the semifinals, but apparently it was really the finals.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, oh my gosh, that's such a good thing I didn't even realize. But yeah, Tristan, you're right. So the guy with the Feraligatr that she was battling, obviously one of them had to win. It was obviously him, unless it wasn't, because the guy that she ends up coming second to looked a lot like that guy.
I went back and looked, and it was same hair, same shirt, same everything, so.
Yeah, and the guy in the green shirt, he's the one that won, so. But the other point to that is that when they do the cutaway, they say it's been like 6 days, and we were on day 3. As of this episode, this was day 3.
So we skipped a bunch. We skipped 2 of Trinity's battles.
But she wouldn't have gone on, like Tristan said. So I don't understand. That's a mistake.
Yeah, we should have been a different person that should have been winning, except for the person that put with the Feraligatr.
Well, she wouldn't have been second, right? Because if they had 3 more days of battle, then she wouldn't have been second at all if she lost to this guy.
Yeah, she was either in the semifinals or the quarterfinals at the time.
Okay, obvious problem with that.
They didn't care.
Continuity is one of the things that it's like that kind of drives me nuts. I hate watching shows, and all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, I thought that person, that doesn't make any sense, and this is the stuff that I always catch up on, so.
Well, good observation, because honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, oh my god, you're right. Like, that absolutely couldn't happen in any iteration of that, so.
And so then, yeah, so I wrote down that essentially Ash either finishes top 16 or top 32, depending on which announcer you believe, and then Misty finished either top 8 or top 16, whatever announcer you decide to believe, so.
I'm going to tell myself it was top 32 for Ash because we only saw him battle twice.
Yeah, which would then mean that Misty finished top 16, which is kind of a disappointment. But, you know, it is what it is. You got your time to shine.
That's what they get for not preparing.
Based on what we see, like, I mean, they were never going to win against these adults that had, like, Feraligatrs and Golducks and Gyarados. Like, they were never going to win.
I will say Trinity's team was pretty good with the Golduck and the Chinchou.
Yeah.
They essentially talk to Maya. Maya tells them, thank you. And then we go to, like, a sunset scene because it's Pokemon, so there always has to be a sunset scene, apparently. They talk about how the Whirl Island competition has completed and that they're at Red Rock Isle and that they're on to the next adventure. So that's all I have for that. I did say that I kind of really wish that they would have had Misty win or at least finish like second. That's just my personal opinion.
You'd think she would get second and Trinity would get first.
Yeah, and that she beats Ash in like the semifinals, not like super early on. But especially if we're winding down the Misty train here, I would prefer a little bit more of her like getting kind of like one more last hurrah kind of thing in. So
it should have been three episodes instead of the two it was, not including the Octillery episode.
Maybe I'm the one who is going to be a little contrary here, but I think I'm kind of okay with her doing so poorly, to be honest, because we never see her really train or have any kind of development as a trainer. And it's like, okay, yeah, her ultimate goal is to be a water Pokemon master, but she's up against real pros, for lack of a better term. Like, she's so woefully underprepared. And I think that this should serve as like a good lesson to her. Like, yeah, you actually haven't really been doing anything. So yeah, you really did bad because these are people that are spending at least 3 years in between World Cups, like training. And these are very obviously like adult people who are much more experienced than her. So I'm like, yeah, okay, maybe this should be your wake up call, Misty, like to actually do something and not just tag around with Ash. Like,
Pikachu, do something.
Yeah. I think it's actually just as good as she could have hoped for, considering that she's really done nothing at all in terms of training.
Okay, you swayed me. I agree with you.
you swayed me as well.
See? Gotta think critically about this children's television show.
I came into this whole thing not knowing who was going to win, and I was kind of like rooting for Misty to win, but I was kind of hoping that it would be later on that they would face Ash, like you're in the finals or semifinals, but yeah, that kind of makes sense. She really wants to be a water Pokemon master, but doesn't actually train ever.
No.
Kind of makes more sense.
We gotta boot her for the show for her to get better.
Well, she's just gotta get out from Ash's shadow to get better. That's really it.
Maybe that's what the line about Brock was about. He's like, that really reminded me of you, Ash. Maybe they were trying to imply something there.
Potentially.
So now I guess we'll do MVP, LVP, and quote.
Yay!
What's our order?
First is Alex, then me, then Tristan.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to give MVP to Kingler.
Yes.
Because Kingler deserves it. It's an absolute powerhouse. We don't see near enough of Kingler, and it's so sad that Ash just relegates him to the lab when he could be traveling around with this thing. My LVP, Officer Jennies, and the man Officer Jennies, for just standing there and not having the ability to like lift their neck. I mean, I guess I'm shocked to see Officer Jenny, but...
Yeah, it's been a while since Officer Jenny's gotten an LVP, so I think she's had it coming.
How many LVPs have I given her? Like, a lot?
We'll find out at the end of Johto.
Yeah, Austin's keeping a list. But yeah, they're ineffectual, as always. Especially during that part, I don't think we mentioned this, but, like, Officer Jenny says something to the effect of, like, you know, we get this tip or whatever, and then Maya's like, oh, don't be silly. And then she's like, oh, yeah, you're right. I'm like, okay, well, why are you even there then?
She does say something to the effect of like, oh, yeah, no one's ever stolen it before, so I'm not worried about it. It's like, well, that's not, just because nobody's broken into your house doesn't mean you shouldn't worry about someone breaking into your house.
Right. My quote is, okay, I'm going to, Tristan alluded to this quote when he was talking about it, but I'm going to go with the one where the announcer is like, when Psyduck pops out unexpectedly, he says, Misty will be using her Psyduck, but it's drowning. Probably not a good move on Misty's part.
That was funny. All right, my MVP. I'll give it to Trinity's Chinchou for that cool confused ray under the water moment.
Yeah, that was pretty neat.
My LVP, I'm going to give it to Misty.
Ooh, okay.
Sorry, Misty.
Is it because what I said?
No, actually, but it's similar. She relied on only two Pokemon through this whole thing.
Ah.
Psyduck jumped out when she intended to use Corsola. But I'm like, Misty, you have more Pokemon than just Poliwhirl and Corsola. Why don't you sub in Staryu or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
And she has Goldeen, too.
Yeah, she's Goldeen. This could have been Goldeen's moment to shine. As always, Goldeen doesn't get to do anything.
This is not unusual. We know Misty plays favorites.
Yes, she does. So she gets LVP for playing favorites. And also, I'm sure poor Polly Whirl and Course Love were, like, exhausted by the end of this.
Poor Polly Whirl.
So she gets LVP for playing favorites. And Tristan, do you mind if I take the Team Rocket quote?
Go ahead.
Okay. It's going to be James saying, "They're about to find out why we call ourselves Team Rocket." And Miel says, "Why do we call ourselves Team Rocket?"
That's good, because I actually have two good Rock quotes, so now I can use both of them.
Awesome.
Excellent.
All right. My MVP is unknown trainer who wins the World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who was that guy?
don't know, but you know what? He won. So if you win the championship, you're number one in my book.
Awesome.
My LVP, again, is going to be Team Rocket, because, again, they spent the whole episode doing nothing, and then when they actually executed their plan, it lasted 5 seconds.
Typical.
I love Team Rocket and mostly all episodes. Just these two last episodes, they were absolutely no point for them to be in them at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two quotes, if that's cool.
Go ahead.
So the first one is when Brock is meeting Trinity and Misty says, "How do you know her name?" And Brock says, "One thing I never have trouble with is remembering a face of a pretty girl." And then he says, "This book helped with her name," that they flip through this little black book.
Is that what that is? Is that like his little black book of girls that he
meets? I almost thought that it was like a tournament program of like all the people competing. And he's just going through and be like looking at it like, "Okay, oh, this is this person. This is this person." The whole animation was just kind of funny as he like squints down and he starts like flipping through it really quick.
I'm pretty sure we do actually see Brock's little black book eventually.
Oh my gosh.
Because of course he has one.
Of course he would, yeah. And then my other one is also, at the end, Maya says, "I'm grateful to all of you for defending the Sea Spirit from Team Rocket." Brock says, "You're welcome, it was nothing." And then Misty says, "You're right, that's what you did, nothing."
I'm glad you took that one because that was my other one I was thinking about, but...
Yeah, they have some good quotes this time.
Gotta love it. There's, you know, it's kind of funny, like, going back through these episodes to see, like, okay, which episodes have actual quotable moments. And sometimes there's, like, a plethora of them. Like, you're really spoiled for choice. And then, like, other ones have, like, nothing. So, any final thoughts on those two episodes, the conclusion of the World Cup?
What an odd little storyline for there to be.
Yeah, I didn't look ahead. I don't know what's supposed to happen in the next batch of episodes, but I'm assuming we're... headed back to Jasmine and normal business as usual?
Kind of. We're still going to be in the Whirl Islands for a little bit.
There's another arc coming up.
So we're not quite done here.
No, we are not. We got the real finales coming.
Oh, is that why this seemed so abrupt then? Like,
yeah, we're only like halfway through, really.
Oh, okay. I you know I don't remember stuff, so...
No, I know you don't.
Well, this has been really awesome. Tristan, I think I can speak for all of us here on Out of the Drying Pan that we're just absolutely thrilled that you were able to join us and can't thank you enough for supporting us. We really enjoyed speaking with you today and getting your thoughts on these episodes.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me on. It was great. I thoroughly enjoyed this.
All right. Well, I will take us out here if we have no final thoughts. We want to just...
Oh, I have final thoughts.
Oh, you do. Okay, share.
Our next two episodes...
Oh, I forgot.
Plant It Now, Diglett Later.
Ooh.
And Hi-Ho Silver... Away!
We want to say thank you all for listening, and thank you again to Tristan for being a supportive patron. We, again, really enjoyed having you on and picking your brain on these two episodes. If you want to get in touch with us and leave us some thoughts, like Pokemon Megastar did on our Spotify accounts, you can, of course, always reach out to us on our Gmail account. That's outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Or check us out on Twitter, or X. @outofdryingpan. We also have an Instagram. I haven't posted anything recently, but hopefully I can get back into that groove. That's @outofthedryingpan. Again, @outofthedryingpan. And we also have our Patreon. So if you'd like to support us over there and check out our bonus episodes, other fun content, please, please, we really appreciate your support. So go check us out over there. A link to that Patreon is in our description. And we hope you join us next week as the journey continues.